Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 31.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome back to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. I'm your host, Frank, and today we have a very special episode lined up for you. As many of you know, this month of June 2023, well, any month of June for that matter, is a particularly busy one in the world of English language testing, with numerous Cambridge exams taking place. I know that many of my listeners, both students and teachers alike, are deeply involved in their preparation process for these exams. So I thought, what better time than now to delve into the reading papers of the B2, C1, and C2 Cambridge exams. In today's episode, I'll be exploring each of these levels in detail, discussing the structure of the papers, the challenges you might face, and most importantly, the strategies you can employ to excel in them. Now, you might be thinking, but aren't these levels quite similar? And you're right. There are indeed many similarities across these levels. However, each level also brings its unique nuances and demands that I believe are worth discussing. So to avoid repetition and to keep things fresh and engaging, I will focus on highlighting the unique aspects of each level while also drawing attention to the common strategies and skills that are universally beneficial, no matter what level you're at. So whether you're a student gearing up for your exams, a teacher looking for some fresh insights, or simply an English language enthusiast, this episode is for you. Let's dive in. But I don't want to get started before thanking all my listeners and those people who are leaving messages on the Spotify app. As you know, if you get the podcast from a different source, let's say Apple Podcasts or any other platform where you find the podcast available, you will not be able to see these interactions. And people have left messages on different episodes. And I can only read them, of course. I cannot reply directly from the app, but just so you know that I read them all and I publish them all, and I'm very happy that you find the episodes very insightful. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Agnieszka. Thank you, everyone, for leaving your messages. You are the most amazing people ever. Thank you so, so much. I will probably read the messages in future episodes, but not today. Today, I wanted to make it a little more concise, very focused on the reading, which is our business today. So let's get started. Let's kick things off with a B2 First for schools and B2 First, the regular one, qualifications. This is a comprehensive language assessment designed by Cambridge Assessment English. As you know, it tests four key language skills, which is reading, writing, speaking, and listening. Of course, there's the use of English, but it's usually embedded into the reading paper. The aim of this qualification is to demonstrate that learners possess the language skills necessary to communicate effectively in an English-speaking environment. These skills include the ability to communicate face-to-face, write clear and detailed English, follow the news, and write various text types. The B2 First for Schools in specific is aimed at school-age learners and can be taken either on paper or on a computer. For that, you have to check with the exam center where you're going to take the exam. Most probably will be the paper-based version, especially if you take it at your school, because at least here in Madrid, students take it in their schools. Now, let's talk about the challenges of reading at this level. For teachers, it can be difficult to motivate learners who don't read much, even in their own language. This is a constant problem that we all have, don't we? Finding interesting texts and materials can be very time-consuming. Additionally, managing a class with a range of reading abilities and reading speeds can be challenging. For learners, understanding vocabulary is often the greatest challenge to comprehension. The inability to understand every word can be demotivating. Time constraints, especially in an exam context, can also pose a problem. Non-literal language, multi-word verbs, and false friends, the words that seem familiar to a word in your own language but have a different meaning in English, can also present challenges. So how can you overcome these challenges and develop your reading skills? It's important to give learners plenty of practice with a variety of different genres and text types. These include authentic and adapted materials such as magazine articles, social media articles, news and sports websites, newspapers, text chats, and graded readers. I know that publishers like Macmillan and Pearson and Longman, they have their own sections for graded readers. So make sure that you check them out. And if you can, if your school is able to get them, go ahead and do some practice in the classroom with them. And if you're a learner as well at B2, you will benefit a lot because these texts usually come fully packed with exercises at the end of every chapter or at the end of every book. And more often than not, they will come with MP3s, or before, I remember they came with cassettes. Then the CDs appeared and could buy a book, one of these books with a CD. Nowadays, you can just download the MP3s. Remember that learners should also be encouraged to practice skimming and scanning both shorter and longer texts. Students should be taught to work out or guess the meaning of words they don't know using the context and the rest of the text to help them. Remember that you will not have access to a dictionary or anything in the exam room, so you might as well try to develop this skill. Assessing learners' reading skills is key to understanding their progress. This can be achieved through a mix of teacher, peer, and self-assessment. I know that assessment is very tricky and difficult, but it is important to ask learners to think about why an answer is right or wrong to assess their understanding of what is being tested in each question. This is essential. When you check the answers, or in the classroom, or yourself, you have to make sure, do not skip this important step. You have to find out why you were wrong in a specific answer. Learners should also be encouraged to justify and explain their answer choices to each other. It doesn't matter if they do it in Spanish or their first language, as long as they negotiate their understanding of the text. Of course, with higher levels, it's better if you do it in English. But at low levels, so let's say A2 or B1, even B2, you have to let the students know, as a teacher, you have to let the students know that they can discuss their answers in their own language. But of course, they should try to use English as much as possible. Remember that this is a crucial step, and if they lack that exposure, even if it's between themselves in the second language, which is English in that case, will not bring all the benefits that it usually brings. Because this not only helps them to understand the material better, but also foster a collaborative learning environment. This is essential in the classroom. If you don't have a classroom, you can do it with a study buddy. Choose someone you can study with, and you have to make sure that you discuss the answers. Remember, assessment is not just about correcting mistakes, not telling you that, oh, you made a mistake in number one. It's about learning from feedback. It doesn't always have to be formal. Games and quizzes can also be used to assess your abilities, your understanding, in a fun and engaging way. Now, when it comes to how the B2 reading paper is assessed, the B2 First for Schools Reading and Use of English paper has 7 parts and lasts about 1 hour and 15 minutes in total. There is no extra time to copy your answers to the answer sheet if the candidates are taking the paper-based test. The paper includes multiple choice close, open close, word formation, keyword transformation, multiple choice, gap texts, and multiple matching. Remember that every part has its own strategy. You have to make sure that if you're practicing on your own, you find a good book, a trainer book. It's my recommendation. Cambridge has a wonderful series of books called Trainers. If you can get hold of those books, go ahead and do it, because they come packed with strategies that you can use in the exam. Macmillan also has the Test Builder series. I believe they have for IELTS. They also have for C1 and C2. I'm not really sure about other levels. I think they do, because I think they have a full set of trainers. So in their case, of course, it's called the Test Builder. And if you can find those books, make sure that you follow their strategies, because they come packed with a lot of advice. I have used them in my classroom, and they're extremely useful because they really go in depth, part by part, and they justify. And what I like about those books is that at the end of the book, you have the explanations, which is basically the final part that I would like to discuss, which is some activities and strategies for each part of the B2 First reading paper. These activities involve a mix of reading, comprehension, and language usage tasks. For example, in part 7, learners are asked to practice using paraphrasing and synonyms as strategies to identify correct answers. They are given the part 7 questions and asked to underline the keywords and expressions before comparing ideas with a partner, for example. Then they are asked to work in pairs and to think of 2 or 3 sentences that mean the same as the question statements, but to use different words or grammar. This is something that you can do on your own when you analyze the questions before actually reading the paper. Part 7, you can just read the questions and make sure that you understand it, and you try to find synonyms of the words or multiple ways in which grammatically you can also express that question. This activity will help you understand the importance of paraphrasing and how to find the correct answer in the text. Finally, developing and assessing reading skills for B2 First and First for Schools involves overcoming various challenges and employing effective strategies. By doing so, you can improve your reading skills and be better prepared for your exams. All right, I think that covers the B2 level. Next up, I'll be moving on to the C1 Advanced Reading Skills. Stay tuned. Moving up a level, now we arrive at the C1 Advanced Qualification, formerly known as the Cambridge English Advanced. This is a high-level qualification offered by Cambridge Assessment English. It is recognized by thousands of institutions worldwide, and it is designed to help learners gain the skills to make the most out of their studying, working, and living in an English-speaking country. The C1 Advanced is targeted at the CEFR level C1, which is one step below the maximum level of language proficiency as a second language. This level indicates that a learner can understand a wide range of demanding, longer texts and recognize implicit meaning. I think this is the key point here. They can also express ideas fluently and spontaneously without much obvious searching for expressions. The challenges of reading at C1 level are similar to those at the B2 level, but they become more complex. For instance, learners at this level may encounter more complex vocabulary and idiomatic expressions. They may also have to deal with more complex sentence structures and nuances in tone and style. For teachers, the challenge lies in finding texts and materials that are at the right level of difficulty and that are interesting and engaging for learners. To develop learner skills at this level, teachers should give learners plenty of practice in class or at home of reading a variety of different genres and styles which might appear in the C1 Advanced reading and use of English papers. Learners need to be familiar with a range of complex texts such as newspapers, magazines, websites, advertisements, and brochures. Teachers should also ensure that learners know clearly what each exam task type focuses on and will be testing them on. Learners should be encouraged to practice skimming and scanning. You know, skimming is quick reading and scanning is finding the right answers, the right questions, both shorter and longer texts, and to try to work out or guess the meaning of the words they don't know. Remember, this is essential. It's an essential reading skill. The C1 Advanced Reading and Use of English paper has 8 parts and lasts for about 1 hour and 30 minutes. Well, exactly 1 hour and 30 minutes in total. There is no extra time, as with the other exams, the other levels, to copy the answers onto the separate answer sheet if candidates are taking the paper-based test. The paper includes multiple choice, open-close, word formation, keyword transformation, multiple choice. But there's one new, which is the cross-text multiple matching. It's, you know, the one that in which you have to identify the opinions of four people. Finally, finishing with a gap text and a multiple matching. There are a number of activities that involve a mix of reading, comprehension, and language usage tasks that you can do in the classroom. For example, let's think about part three, the word formation task. In this case, the learners are given a set of words from a task and are tasked to provide not a definition. Basically, they have to transform the word on the right and put it in the context inside the main text. Of course, you have to know the meaning, you have to know how words form, and you have to understand the underlying processes that we use in English to transform a word, let's say, from an adjective to a noun or to an adverb or to a verb. But in the classroom, you might as well do the typical table in which you put all the words laid out in the different cells of the table corresponding to the different categories, the different type of word formation. As I said, as a verb, noun, adjective, or adverb. Another cool activity that you can do is basically try to explain and put that word into context in a sentence to make sure that you as an individual learner know how to exactly use the word. Or in the classroom, you can do it with another partner so you can show that you know how to use the word. I'm sure that this activity will help you reinforce your understanding of the meaning, form, and use of key vocabulary for the C1. Another activity that you can do, for example, to expand your knowledge of words is to find a thesaurus, which is a synonyms dictionary, and find words that are related to the same word that you're testing. For example, you have a group of words. And since we don't have exact synonyms in English, we have very near, and depending on the context, you might probably use one word or another, but in a different context, those two words might be used differently. For example, I usually give this example. You can also use high and tall similarly in a different text, in a given text, but, and they would be similar, of course, but when it comes to, let's say, describing a person, you can say the person is a tall person, but not a high person. So in that case, for example, collocation comes into place. And this is something that you also need to reinforce, knowing how words usually go together in English. Advanced reading and use of English paper. In part 7, learners are asked to raise awareness of and practice strategies to help with completing a gapped text. This is essential. A lot of people fail in this particular task. And let me tell you, I mean, if you need more than the regular 12-15 minutes, go ahead. I would say that 20 would be the maximum, but definitely you need to know how much time you need for those tasks that require a lot of time. Of course, if you require more time for, let's say, part 7, the gap text, you need to make sure that you reduce the time for other parts. And of course, you try to practice as much as possible so you can increase your ability to deal with the task in a shorter time. Remember that in this task, you are given a text without the missing paragraphs. One thing that you can do in this part of the test is try to predict or imagine what the missing paragraph might be about. Of course, this is when you prepare, when you study. Doing this will help you develop your ability to understand the overall coherence of a text, predicting what you need in every gap. Of course, in the exam, you don't have time to do that. But when you prepare, you need to know, for example, if you have a paragraph, then you have the gap, and then you have another paragraph, you can do this. At B2, for example, it's only a sentence. So that sentence can also be predicted easily. At C1, it's a whole paragraph, but you can still try to guess how the transition goes from one paragraph to the next with a paragraph in the middle being removed. So making that kind of prediction will also help you understand the underlying coherence of the text. This activity will help you understand the text a lot better. It's very, very important at C1 level. So I guess this wraps up our discussion of the C1 advanced reading skills. Next, we'll be moving on to the highest level, the C2 proficiency reading skills. Stay tuned. Now let's move on to the highest level of Cambridge English qualifications, the C2 proficiency. This qualification is the most advanced exam offered by Cambridge Assessment English. It's designed to demonstrate that a learner has mastered English to an exceptional level. It proves a learner can communicate with the fluency and sophistication of a highly competent English speaker. Reading at C2 level presents its own unique challenges. The texts at this level are more complex and demanding, often featuring nuanced language, sophisticated vocabulary, and complex grammatical structures. For learners, the challenges include understanding these complex texts, dealing with a wide range of vocabulary, and understanding implicit and inferred meaning. For teachers, the challenge lies in finding texts that are sufficiently challenging and engaging for learners at this level. To develop reading skills at the C2 level, learners, you as a person, you need to engage with a wide range of demanding, longer texts and recognize implicit meaning. Try to think of the why people write things and what they want to say with the words that they're expressing. Students should be encouraged to read widely and regularly. There's no secret here. You need to read. And to engage with a variety of text types and genres. As with other levels, skimming and scanning are important skills, as is the ability to guess the meaning of unknown words from context. The C2 proficiency reading and use of English paper consists of 7 parts and lasts as the C1 for 1 hour and 30 minutes in total. As the other exams, there is no extra time to copy your answers to the answer sheet if candidates are taking the paper-based test. The tasks include multiple choice, open-close, word formation, keyword transformation, multiple choice gap text, and multiple matching, pretty much like the B2. But of course, the demanding difficulty will increase exponentially in this level. Each task tests different skills and requires different strategies. As I said before, make sure you get hold of the test builder for Macmillan and also the test trainer, the trainer packs from Cambridge English. And of course, there is a range of activities that can help you as a learner prepare for each part of the exam. For example, in part 5, I would suggest a strategy, a practice activity. In the first place, for example, a teacher might elicit what types of text might appear in part 5, such as fictional or non-fictional sources like newspapers, books, and magazines. Remember that these texts might also have an academic or professional angle. Teachers then need to present the title, so let's say Lucy gets a new job on a newspaper, and ask learners to predict what kind of text it is and what kind of job Lucy might get. This is only for this particular case. Of course, predicting skills will always be very helpful in every part of the exam. And then after that, learners are given the text, but not the questions, and asked to skim the text and check their predictions. They compare what they discover with a partner before the teacher provides feedback on the whole class. Now, it's very important, for example, when it comes to a multiple choice task, you got to make sure that you deal with the distractors very well. The distractors are in all parts of the exam, but in this case, they appear because all the options in multiple choice will be in the text in one way or another. So one way that I usually tell my students to practice with this is that you can read the question, but don't read the options, for example. Go ahead and read the text and try to figure out the answer for yourself. One thing that teachers can do is just give students a task, let's say this part, part 5, and then just the questions without the options, and then have students discuss together and provide an answer for each question, like actually writing the answer. So then in a class, they can just share their answers and see. And then finally, the teacher can give the students the task, the questions, and the options. That way, it works like magic. I've done it in class and it's amazing because you can actually figure out, oh, you can understand the underlying. Because sometimes when you read the options, you are going to the text with those 4 options that will be in the text and will confuse you. And that's the problem with the distractions, because finding how different they are and if they're related to the question or not can be quite challenging, especially if you are under exam conditions. There's a time constraint. So make sure that you really understand. So don't look at the options. cover them if possible if you're doing it on your own, or you can ask a person to come up with a task with the same task, but removing, blanking out the options. So make sure that where the answers are, underline. And this is another skill that you need to develop for the reading. Underline everything you consider important, because that will help you pinpoint the answers more precisely. Remember that underlining is a physical activity, and when you're doing a physical activity, you're forcing the brain to focus on something. It's not just because you want to look as a very organized student. Underlining does have a pedagogical meaning. There's a reasoning behind it and a cognitive reason behind it. So in conclusion, preparing learners for the C2 proficiency reading and use of English paper involves a combination of developing good reading skills, understanding the structure of the paper, and practicing specific strategies for each part of the paper. That concludes our discussion of the C2 proficiency reading skills. Stay tuned for the conclusion of our episode. Well, dear listeners, we've come to the end of this special episode. We've journeyed through the reading papers of the B2 First, C1 Advanced, and C2 Proficiency Cambridge exams, discussing the unique aspects of each level and the strategies, some of the strategies, you can employ to excel in them. We've talked about the challenges of reading at each level, the strategies for developing some of the reading skills, important reading skills, and how the reading papers are assessed. We've also discussed some activities and strategies for each part of the reading papers. Remember, these strategies are not just for exam preparation. They're also useful for improving your overall English reading skills. I encourage all of you, whether you're a student preparing for these exams or a teacher guiding your students, to apply these strategies in your preparation. And remember, all the information we've discussed today is a summary of the official guides for teachers and learners that Cambridge Assessment English provides. You can find all the links to these guides in the episode description. Before I wrap up, I have an exciting announcement to make, and is this. While I won't be running any dedicated courses over the summer, you know that last year I ran 2 courses, and they were quite successful, I might have to say myself, I will be delivering one-off workshops focusing on different parts of the Cambridge exams. These workshops will be a great opportunity for you to delve deeper into the strategies and techniques we've discussed today, not only for the reading, but also other parts of the exam. I'll be announcing the details of these workshops on my TikTok channel, so also here in the podcast, so make sure to stay tuned. And if you've had workshops with me before, even with the Ben Gill TTP Academy or myself, just on my own, of course, you will probably see a lot of repeated information. So think about it. You might probably find it as a good reinforcement of what you have studied with me or what you have studied with Ben or any other teacher. And if you're more than happy to, let's say, repeat some of the information, you're more than welcome to join me. I'll be announcing the details of these workshops on my TikTok channel, of course. Make sure you follow me on the different media platforms. And please note that these workshops will come with a small fee. They're not going to be for free. So I will try to make sure that the price is very, very accessible to everyone, which, you know, I'm still in the process of calculating. Thank you for joining me on this journey through the Cambridge exams and the IELTS exams. I hope you found this episode informative and helpful. And until next week, keep practicing, keep learning, and remember what you say in English matters. Bye-bye.